Blog Talk Radio.
Let's go. Oh yeah. Oh, 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 oh yeah. It's your boy, he back. Oh yeah, what's up? It's Marvin Rome. It's Empowerment Networks, 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. That's right. We're getting it started just a minute. We're talking about hearing ourselves. We're gonna do that thing right now. Come on. Do it. Oh yeah. Come on, Luther. There's no better love.
Girl, that's what I got.
Yeah. I like that. No better love. Hey, 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 welcome to the show. There's no better love than for self and kind. I'll keep saying that. There's no better love than for self and kind. If you can't love yourself, then guess what? It's hard for you to love your kind. And we need love. That's what we need. I'm telling you the truth. We back. We're back. And y'all should be listening. I'm telling you, listen to me, right? Before I get into the NAAEA, this is African-American empowerment. Who on this planet needs it the most? Right? And we don't have all the answers and all the solutions, but guess what? If you tune into this show, you should be telling your friends, your family. It should be family time at 2 o'clock Eastern time. Right? I got to let y'all know I'm on the West Coast, so I'm at 11 a.m. today out here on West Coast Pacific time. That's right. He does some traveling. Right? But the show goes on. And I do apologize for last week, but I had an engagement that was a superior endeavor that I was taking upon, in which we're investing in our youth. So I got to stop the show for my babies and the people that I work with, right? Because we're getting the job done. Special kudos out to Yvette Rajput in the Armstrong Leadership Program in Richmond, Virginia, for the work that's being done with our young people and their families, right? We're starting individual families and communities, and that's what we do, and that's what the NAAEA is all about. That's the work. Who's willing to do the work? Again, there's no better love than for self and kind. If we invest in ourselves, we can't go wrong. All right, let's go to the tenets of the NAAEA. Somebody said, man, Marvin Rohn, that's too much, man. It's too much. Politics, economics, health, wellness, fitness, training, caution, education. That's a whole lot. So I'm going to try to break it down for you. I'm trying to have peace within the individual, within the family, and within the community. That's it, right? But in order to exist in this society, you're going to have to do a few things. Where my sisters at today? Guess what? I ain't worried about y'all today. I'm going. You need a political agenda. I say it every week. I mean, I'm going to slow it down, though, right? We need to understand politics. Back in slavery or after integration, whatever one you want to choose, and even up to now, they said, hey, y'all can go. Y'all can be free. But you don't have no political agenda. You can't protect your kids or your environment or your community if you don't understand the politics or the laws where you live and the strategy that's being used as the lawmakers make them. You got to participate, right? I know we're talking about, you know, doing our own thing, but I'm saying this. Until you can do your own thing, you better master what it is that you're doing where you at. How about that? Master that first, and then you can run a nation. But if you can't run yourself, who can you run? The only thing you run is in the ground. That's right, I said it. Sometimes we're running ourselves in the ground. Let me go back to politics. We need a political agenda that spans across our community, across the country, in every city, state, town that we live in, right, that protects us, that invests in us. The politics have to help us grow, right? We're talking about reparations, but we need to have an agenda that speaks clearly to what our needs are, and we need a lot of things. So I'm going down the line. You have to understand politics, law, and the legal system. You have to understand economics. That's the E. I'm spelling it out for you. The E is you need to understand American capitalism and economics and how the game is played. I ain't saying you got to play, but you got to participate if you want to live here, because it's all about money in the land of milk and honey. That's just true. Somebody call me up. Listen, the number is 845-277-9250 to get in on this conversation. Right? We need an athletic agenda. I'm going to tell you why. Because we need better health. Right, our people are sick, right, mentally, physically. I ain't talking about y'all, right, and I ain't trying to be mean, but the facts are all you have to do is look at the American health disparities, and we lead the league in every category, It's true. But when we going to face that, when we be honest with ourselves, like Brother Booker said, we need to be honest with ourselves about every line that I'm talking about. Your politics, you need to be honest about that. Your economics, you need to be honest about that. Your health, wellness, and fitness and nutrition, I want to ask a question. How many of your family members are on medications? Don't be mad with me. Just ask the question. Are you on medication? Why are you asking me about my own medications? You know I've been on medications for a long time. Why? Because the food that you eat, you don't work out, you don't take care of your mind, you don't take care of your body. That's just the facts. Don't be mad with me. But if we had an agenda that focused on our health and our wellness, we wouldn't have to address it. We could move on because all of us working out, all of us say, well, we don't have to work out every day. No, but you got to take care of your body. Why are you here? You need mental health. We need mental wellness. We got to heal ourselves from the trauma and the drama that exists and persists in our lives. It's just true. Right? I'm not making it up. I'm telling you what we need to do because it's so true. Okay. Let's move on over to culture. We need relevant cultural programs, right, for our people to help us out to get things right. Right? We need, like Kwanzaa, for example. Like, oh, man, that's African-American. Oh, you got that right. It sure is. And guess what? We're going to practice it because we need cultural foundations in our lives, right? If you can have Christmas and you can have Easter, you can have Kwanzaa. If you can celebrate 4th of July, you can have Kwanzaa. That's right. And you can have Kwanzaa 365 days because the principles we need, we're going to get into that a little bit later on with our Kwanzaa segment. And then last, we need education. It's comprehensive education. You got to know what's going on, people, right? Not just your primary education and secondary education. You need a holistic approach to your life, educating your children on what they need to know to strive and survive. I call it strival and survival. That's right. I said I make up my own words, and if y'all don't like it, turn off. That's right. Just turn it off. So that's the tenets of the NAAE. I'm just saying, right? Some of y'all are going to be mad with me because of my approach. It's going to be too much, too little. Why didn't you say it this way? Or you should have said that. Guess what? I don't tell you what to say. Right? You grown. But I'm trying to help us. This is my job. And my job is going to be to put it out there and let you think about it. And you can make the adjustments along the way. That's what's good about this program and about life. Make the adjustment. Make the change. Right? But guess who got to do it? You and I. All right. Hey, I'm telling you, who's going to do it if we don't? The thing is that we have to understand how important it is that we get these agendas across. That's all I'm saying. Man, Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah, man, we got the deck.
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at. And this is what we're doing. But we must unify. Let's not sabotage ourselves. We should not look as to what we can't do. We can do all things. We can. We can do it. And so we got to quit trying to mimic other races and be who we are, original kings and queens, and make a difference.
I like that.
Right here on earth.
Oh yeah, that's right. Stan Macklin's magical words, he gets us going today. The tenets of the NAAE is right for us, right? But again, we got to do the work. If we waiting for a handout, if we waiting for somebody to come along to change what it is that you need to change, the change has to start with you. We need institutions that define our own reality. Our young people are graduating from colleges and universities right now with skills that they can't use in our community. Why we don't have economic development going on where we live? That our young people who have master's degrees or who have business degrees can't use them at home. So they got to go out and beg somebody else for a job. That's our responsibility, and that's our duty. We got to figure it out. We have to figure it out, people, and we're going to have to do it in a hurry. Willie Lynch time. It's going to be the same way until y'all get it. Some of y'all are going to get tired and say, why do you keep doing Willie Lynch all the time? Because we need it.
The speech was delivered by Willie Lynch on the banks of the James River in the colony of Virginia in 1712. Lynch was a British slave owner in the West Indies. He was invited to the colony of Virginia in 1712 to teach his methods to slave owners there. The term lynching is derived from his last name. Greetings, gentlemen. I greet you here on the bank of the James River in the year of our Lord, 1712. First, I shall thank you, the gentlemen of the colony of Virginia, for bringing me here. I'm here to help you solve some of your problems with slaves. Your invitation reached me on my modest plantation in the West Indies, where I have experimented with some of the newest and still the oldest methods for control of slaves. Ancient Rome would envy us if my program is implemented. As our boat sails south on the James River, named for our illustrious king, whose version of the Bible we cherish, I saw enough to know that your problem is not unique. While Rome used cords of wood as crosses for standing human bodies along its highways in great numbers, you were here using the tree and the rope on occasion. I caught the whiff of a dead slave hanging from a tree a couple miles back. And you're not only losing valuable stock by hangings, you are having uprisings, slaves are running away, your crops are sometimes left in the fields too long for maximum profit, you suffer occasional fires, your animals are killed. Gentlemen, you know what your problems are. I do not have to elaborate. I'm not here to enumerate your problems. I'm here to introduce you to a method of solving them. In my bag here, I have foolproof methods for controlling your black slaves. I guarantee every one of you that if installed correctly, it will control the slaves for at least 400 years. My method is simple. Any member of your family or your overseer can use it. I have outlined a number of differences among slaves, and I take these differences and I make them bigger. I use fear, distrust, and envy for control purposes. These methods have worked on my modest plantation in the West Indies, and it will work throughout the South. Take this simple little list of differences and think about them. On the top of my list is age, but it's there only because it starts with an A. The second is color or shade. There is intelligence, size, sex, sizes of plantations, status on plantations, attitude of owners, whether the slaves live in the valley, on a hill, east, west, north, south, have fine hair, coarse hair, or is tall or short. Now that you have a list of differences, I shall give you an outline of action. But before that, I shall assure you that distrust is stronger than trust, and envy stronger than adulation, respect, or admiration. The black slaves, after receiving this indoctrination, shall carry on and will become self-refueling and self-generating for hundreds of years, maybe thousands.
I'm going to stop right there. That's all you need to know, right? Methods, methodology, ways, strategies, tricks that keeps us divided. Keep us going through changes. Keep us fighting each other. Keep the young against the old. Keep man versus woman. You know it. Rich versus poor. Y'all got it and we don't. We want it. Y'all know what we're dealing with. Right? When we going to get to a point where we see it for ourselves, and then we don't have to fight each other. We could do something about it together. There's no better love than for self and kind. No better love. And again, this broadcast right here should be broadcasted into a network around the country, helping us to define ourselves. Speaking of defining ourselves, let's move on over to Kwanzaa, the Kwanzaa segment. And again, Brother George, we're praying for you, brother, that you continue to heal. We got a big shout out to Brother George. You know what's coming up in a little while for you. But in the meantime, I want to say this. I miss that brother. Because he always bringing some knowledge to the table. He tell you what book you need to read. He's giving you information. He's been doing it for years. So shout out to Brother George. We miss you. Speedy recovery. And come on back here and keep educating our people. It's one of the tenets of the NAAEA education that Brother George has been doing it forever. All right. Again, we're going to have to decide what we're going to do. And here's the Kwanzaa segment. Y'all ready? Real simple. We need unity. It's called Umoja. Umoja. Say it with me. Umoja. You got it. That's it. Simple as that. Umoja. It means unity. It means to strive for and maintain unity in the family, nation, and race. And I'm going to add one more thing. You need unity within yourself. You need a collective consciousness, like Brother George said, but you need to collect your individuals within, because sometimes we don't know who we're going to wake up with from day to day. You need to have a singular mindset, a directed focus that say, I am working on aligning myself, right? All of you. That's your Kwanzaa segment for the day. I had to give it to y'all that way. I'm telling y'all, that's the way it's got to be. From now on, we're going to, again, things are changing, but we're going to have to do the work of working on ourselves. Here's a clip for today.
Gavin, we have interviewed over 1 million Americans since the coronavirus outbreak started, dating back now almost 3 months, including 100,000 Black Americans. And the findings have been quite interesting. We know that in unstable times, listening is critical. And this crisis has moved from not only a health crisis, where 60% of Americans said the health crisis was the biggest factor. It's now 50-50 to the health crisis and economic crisis. And what's most stark as it relates to the tragic events of the last week is just how big the disparity there is between how Black Americans are viewing this crisis. Over 70% have critical feelings about economic wellness, 30% more than white Americans, feeling not only that the health crisis is more likely to affect their community, their family, but the economic crisis will have a toll that they can't recover from. Over 70% of Black Americans feel that discrimination is the biggest problem in America, more than partisanship, and you're seeing a huge disparity of how whites and Blacks are viewing the coronavirus, the health epidemic, and the economic crisis and fallout.
John, I would never, you know, my daughter, she has told me, just don't even pretend you can talk to any of these issues, because you can't. And so I'm not going to pretend that I really can know what it's like, but I think everyone, John, realized with that video, how many of these things are happening that we only see when it's on video, and I think that occurred to everyone, that these recent situations where if it wasn't on tape, it's like we'd never know about it. So how many times do we not know about it, John? And that's why all the fury and the anger and the you know. But like I said, I'm not supposed to talk about this, but that's what struck me, John. Do you think that occurred to anyone else, that this is happening all the time?
I think it was Will Smith that recently said that racism is not new, it's just been filmed. And I think, by the way, it's fantastic that you and your daughter can have that conversation that says something good about the health of your heart and the health of her spirit, that you can actually disagree without being disagreeable, and that you both can grow through that conversation. That is... You don't grow without legitimate suffering. I think that what's going on now is that growth I saw in Xander's data, that actually whites are also beginning to acknowledge that racism is an issue. And maybe it's because, Joe, because they're seeing the undeniable truths of these videos that are unmistakable and unexplainable. And that gives me hope. It gives me hope even from our last segment this morning, to see that it was not just African Americans that are seeing this, it's others. Now, you can combine Xander's good data with Operation Hope's data that shows that where George Floyd was murdered, the average credit score is about, I'm looking at my data now, 570. The average credit for Blacks, the average credit score for whites in the same area is 728 in the same state.
I'll stop it right there. So we're talking about growth through conversation, right? I call it curing ourselves through conversations. We're going to have these conversations in our communities. We're going to have to do the work, right, of figuring out what we need to do to change some things, give ourselves some strategies to help us to heal. We're going to have to deal with racism and discrimination and disparities, but we're also going to have to deal with ourselves and the dysfunctionalism that's going on in our community. Right, you're going to have to understand, just like he just said, what your credit score means. If you're going to participate for real, you're going to have to get on top of this game and work it. You got to understand what's going on, right? And so that's what it's all about today. I'm going to go to the lines. It's that time. Y'all ready? That's for you, Brother George. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm going off 9282. It's your time. Let's kick it off.
As-salamu alaykum, brother.
Welcome to the show.
Yes, sir. How
are you? As-salam, my brother. How are you?
Good. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. Welcome to Empowerment Saturday. Hey, we took week off, man, so I know you ready to go.
I'm just going to say, if we believe in Willie Lynch and you play it every Saturday when we start the show, we get that Willie Lynch moment and about what Willie Lynch was all about, supposedly. We must understand Willie Lynch. We must understand the purpose of Willie Lynch. We must understand the effect of Willie Lynch. What happened? It was just not a, it was a conversation, but it was a conversation that was saying, I'm going to show you how you can get total control of your Negroes, of your slaves, and not have to lynch them all up and down the James River. And if we implement it correctly, it could last 1,000 years. So if we believe in that, if we understand that, then we have to understand what Willie Lynch's philosophy and thing led to and what the effects of it are now. It's like it was a white Virginia representative in the General Assembly in the 1800s. He stood before the General Assembly and said, rest assured that all avenues of light to the slave have been turned off. So all avenues of knowledge to the slave have been turned off. Willie Lynch. You know, and so we obviously, well, I hate to say obviously because I don't want to sound arrogant or too cocky or anything, but we've
got
to start looking at things and understand that if these things happen, they're still happening today. They're not only affecting us today, they are controlling us today, and they control our beliefs and our reality. So
that's why
our beliefs and our reality are based on lies, are based on mind control movements, are based on us being enslaved. We must understand that. And we must...
Come on, brother.
We have to understand, be objective, like you said earlier about, we got to be honest with ourselves when we find knowledge and find the truth. We have to be honest with ourselves and accept it and admit that's what it is. And sometimes doing that, we have to say to ourselves and if not the world, I have been a fool. I have been a made fool. Like the old Spinner song, you know, sometimes a girl, I've been a fool, you know. But love,
all right,
don't love nobody. I've been a fool. You have to admit it when it stands you in the face. We got to say, yes, I've been a fool. And if somebody say to me, brother, I could follow you. I like what you say. I like how you say it. You got the experience. You got the knowledge, the education. You got the voice. You can say, you can do all that. I will follow you, but just calm it down a little bit. You know, don't talk to me and make me feel like I'm stupid. You know, don't talk to me like that, and don't talk about my beliefs. Now think about what you're just saying. I can follow you. I like you. I can listen to you. I can do, but don't talk about me. Don't make it sound like I'm stupid, and don't talk about my beliefs. But we have to understand that to change our situation, to come out of Willie Lynch, to open up the avenues of light back to us, we must talk about, be able to discuss our beliefs. We have to be able to analyze them and try to define and make sure they are true. Now, I'm not saying I'm right. No. But
I'm
saying
with you on
we
that.
Should be able to have that conversation. We should be able to have that discussion about our beliefs and understand our history and what our beliefs are built on. And then we have to use our greatest gift God has given us, our minds, to understand what is really going on, to try to say, okay, I know I've been bombarded with a whole lot of different knowledge and information. I don't know who's lying, who's telling the truth, but at some point you have to then internalize it and say, is it sensible to me? Is it logical to me? Does it, as you say, Does it mesh with my character? Does it mesh with my nature, my being, of who I am? You can use yourself like that now to determine, is this right or is this wrong? You know, and we should be able to have that discussion. And if we disagree, we disagree. But like the brother said earlier, don't be disagreeable. But we have to be able to have conversation about where we are as a people. We have to be able to discuss. We're talking about raising our children differently, enlightening our children, and passing on knowledge. But we have to agree on the knowledge that we're going to pass on to our children. You know, we have to be on one accord there. This is the truth we're going to teach our children. And as I said last week or week before last, if we can't prove that it's true, why pass it on? If you pass it on with a caveat, say, this is what I've been taught, this is what I've heard, and some people say to me and so forth, but baby, sugar, honey, I can't prove that's just true at all.
I like that.
You know? Let them know I'm coming to you from this perspective. I'm trying to enlighten my future, my children, you know, and we have to be able to have conversations. And
true.
And please understand that if y'all know me, I love myself, which means I love you. Because when I see you,
I see me.
When I see you, I see me. I love myself. I will die for you.
I'm not trying
to make you feel ignorant or second class. No, because we are one. We are all
Tell it, brother.
One. You know, we are one, and I'm one with you, and you're one with me. And you and I know this week I had a discussion about starting my own. I hate to use the word church, but church or temple or synagogue or whatever you want to call it. But then I said, well, if I do that, then what I'm going to do is say, this Book of Chambers, we stand together, Church of Knowledge, Wisdom, and Understanding.
I'm coming.
That's what we have to be about.
I'm coming.
And it ain't all about me.
Knowledge, Wisdom, and Understanding.
You know
I like that.
Yeah. The Church of Knowledge, Wisdom, and Understanding. And what that church will become, we build together.
I like
that. Not me.
Now
you're
talking.
It's us. It's not about me. It's about us. You know, we do this. You know what I'm saying? We the one. Because we like to talk about we the one. You know, brother? That's how I'm going to start it today.
All right. All right, brother. We're going to hold right there, and we're going to wrap around. I like that. Now we're talking.
Right.
That's education, right? I'll come right back to you, brother. Thank you. Now, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Education. He said, we the one. We, us. We the people. We the people that's built nations, created. Even in enslavement, we were creating. We are the great ones. Sorry. It's just true. You got to know it. Somebody got to wake you up. We had a conversation, right? We had a conversation saying, how do you wake our people up? With a sludge hammer? Or do you gently wake them up? It matters how you wake people up. Imagine you sound asleep, sleeping real good, sleeping so good you don't know what's going on at all. And somebody decides to try to wake you up to the reality of what's going on around you that you are not conscious of. I'm going to leave it right there. Brother George, it's for you. I'm going over to 8128. If you're ready, I'm ready. Come on, bring it.
Bring it. What?
What? Yeah, I'm going to play this a little extra long. My mama said, mama, this for you. Come on. And Brother George. Here we go. 8128.
How you doing, my brother?
I'm doing well. How you feeling, brother? How are you?
I said those were some real powerful words, brother, was just stopping there. And it's right in line with some things that I've been thinking about as well, brother. You know that The average conscious black person has at least 10 books by African-American writers or publishers. They have some art that is from Africa or Afrocentric in its nature.
I like that.
How many of us can say that we have these artifacts in our house? How many of us have our children go pick up a book that's written by an African-American about us? How many times do we even take the time to read something about us that has been written? You know that there has been over 100 years of research done on what we like and don't like as a people, coming from such a creative background, being the creative civilization. We had to know so many things that we've got. We don't even know. When was the last time you seen something on television that showed an African city in Africa?
Oh.
I can't remember.
Come on, brother.
Anything like us has been wiped from our memory, and we have taken on the enemy's viewpoint of ourselves.
Come on.
You cannot love yourself if you are judging yourself by your enemy. How is that possible? You have to judge yourself, by your people, by your culture, by your viewpoint from where you come from. The way that the other people act is the way that they've been acting since before they got here. What about us? You need to start to seek information and answers about yourself through looking at others like you. You cannot do that when you are looking at your enemy's data on you, because everything he has to say eliminates you. Look at your TV, look at your program, look at your movies. What do they show? They show a black person in a sea of white people or 80 white people. Do you know that no black person yet is liked in this society if he's for his people? He may gain a level of respect, but he's never liked. You wonder why that is? Because as long as we don't like ourselves, they can divide us. When we see what we all have to offer each other, we can't help but like each other because we're all the same.
But as long
as we don't like each other, that means we're following somebody else's agenda. And we really need to think about that.
That's
because
beautiful.
We are definitely judging ourselves based on a foreign, completely foreign culture to our nature. Because our nature is not to dislike. As a matter of fact, not to dislike anyone. As a matter of fact, you don't have time to dislike anyone if you're loving yourself. And we need to just think about what we do on a daily basis. And as one of the brothers said before, unlearn. Unlearn. The enemy. Deeply and learn our own. That's it for me, brother. You know, and
all right.
It's just very simple.
All right. Thank you, brother. I'm going to wrap around back to you because I got a question I want to ask you a little bit later on. Hang on in there. Thank you, brother. Profound points. He back there again on self-love, right? But again, we have to go back to Willie Lynch. Whether you believe it or not, guess what? All we have to do is look at ourselves. And if we can continue to look at ourselves and analyze ourselves and then have the discussion. So again, there's a need for community discussions, and I hope we can have that at your church, Brother Booker. When you get it together, we can have Wednesday night community conversations where we talk about the needs right in the community, right in our backyards. We're going to have to be the ones to do that work, right? We're going to have to be the ones to decide how things are going to be. we're going to be the ones to have to find out what's going on in our households, in our families, our communities, but most importantly with ourselves, our mentality, our mindset, right? The way we see the world, like the brother said, has been shaped and fashioned for you. And I would dare say 90% of what you do, you are not doing on your own, by your own will and your own volition, but by your own programming that's set in motion to create your beliefs just the way they are right now. And I'm saying if you don't know no better, we understand. But just look at crime, violence, and poverty, and look how everybody else is productive around the world except us. There's a reason for that. Let's get back up on our feet and do the work that needs to be done. I want you to think about this. Here's another clip. Oops, wrong one. I do that from sometime. I'm going to get that to Brother George.
Bring it! What?
Okay, that was for you, Brother George. Man.
So often clip time. My audiences, I said, how many black people in my audience? I asked them, how many of you have ever met a black person that isn't black? The black person that will try to be anything else. Did I mention how much Native American
Listen.
Have to be? Oh, and I understand based on my DNA now that my people come from Switzerland. All of a sudden, anything that I can tell you that will convince you that I'm not black. Right, and everybody black knows that. Well, I have another word for it. It's called post-traumatic slave syndrome. Post-traumatic slave syndrome.
So that's what we're talking about. You don't even want to be yourself. Sorry, don't be mad with me. Some of y'all are going to say, well, I do want to be myself. I do. You can't tell me who I want to be. All you got to do is look at yourself. Right? But when you know yourself, you walk the earth with a confidence and authority, not to dominate other people, but to be exactly who you were born to be. Again, are you who you were born to be? Are you your authentic self? Are you training your children to be productive in this world? Because somebody's children are out there doing the murdering. Somebody's children are out there doing the robbing and stealing. And most of our men, boys, and girls are up in prison. We need them in colleges. Now, I'm not saying we don't have them in there, but let's shift the tide a little bit and go from the school-to-prison pipeline to a pipeline of education instead of incarceration or degradation. We need education, and that is what the empowerment is all about. It's about asking the question, are we ready? We got to have these conversations. So the community conversations are set to just get the facts. Let's examine the facts, and let's analyze and interpret, like the brother said, through discussion, what we're going to do to identify the problems in our communities and then have those discussions, right? And we can't all talk over top of each other because all of us not right and we don't know everything. Neither do I. But I can say I'm an advocate for change and that I love myself and that I love my people, and I'm willing to say that. I'm willing to stand for it, and I'm willing to do the work of working on myself first. That's right. So then we have to look at, what can we do about what it is that we come up with? How about crime, violence, economics, culture, education, right? What are those things that we could do differently? How can we get better? What's the ask? What will you go back home with today and do something for the next 7 days until we come back and have this conversation again? And you can call me at 845-277-9250 and talk about it. And then we had these conversations in our communities and in our families. And then we started to take action steps. What's the action steps, right? Because we have to define and have a fixed purpose and then act out our decisions so we can see improvement, right? We're not going to build skyscrapers in the next 30 days, but we can build ourselves one day at a time. I'm going back to the lines, Brother George. I'm going over to 9282. 9282. All right,
my brother.
What's happening?
Why don't we just really set this off? Okay.
Okay, set it off.
Let's set it off. All right.
Come on, brother.
Now, from my perspective, as one black man sees it, just remember that, okay? I'm not speaking all for right. you. I'm not speaking for all of us as a people. This is my perspective, one black man's perspective. Okay?
Ain't nothing wrong
and,
with that.
And I'm going to give you my interpretation from my hood mentality, from my gangster mentality raising up in the project, my hood interpretation
right.
of the Jesus story. Okay? When we're looking at it from this way, okay, I look at it and I say, okay, on this side we got God, all right. We got good, all right. On the other side we got the devil or evil, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now somehow, and I ain't gonna claim to know how, somehow we got the devil or evil controlling God's people. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
According to the stories, according to history and so forth, the books and interpretation, the devil got control of God's people. And God sends folk throughout time to try to get his people away from the devil. And finally, he sends his only son. Okay? Supposedly his only son, Jesus, to get his people. This is the last one he sending. Okay? And the devil is arrogant in his evilness and his attitude. He know he bad. Okay? He's saying to God, I don't care who you send whoever you want to send.
Uh-oh.
My niggas ain't leaving me. You can send whoever you want to send. They not leaving me. They staying with me. And then Jesus come and trying to get these folk to wake them up and telling them he died trying to tell his people that they are as great as he is, if not greater. If they just submit the will to the will of their father and come on out of here. You here because you want to be. You stand because you want to be. But your greatness is my greatness and greater than me. Come on up. But the devil stand there and say, keep on talking to him, Jesus. These niggas ain't come. You know, my hoes, my bitches, my niggas, they ain't coming nowhere. They stand right here with me. Okay? And then we say, now this is my interpretation of the Jesus story, I remind you. You know? But they saying, hey, we love you, Jesus. And Jesus had to be saying, how can you love me and you don't love yourself?
Right.
How are you going to love me when you don't love yourself? And then we'll say, well, Jesus
True.
Is dead, but he's going to rise again. No, Jesus is not dead. Jesus lives on in you. But
Come
you
on.
Won't rise up. You won't
you
stand
go.
Up. See, this is a hood interpretation of the Jesus story.
Tell it.
You know, Jesus trying to get you to come on up out of here and be who you know you're supposed to be. Well, you don't know, but be who you're supposed to be. Don't worship
That's
me.
Right.
Become yourself. Be the one. Stand up, my brothers and sisters. Come out of her, my people, for you not be partakers of her sin.
I like
Come
that.
On, what's wrong with y'all? You see what I'm saying? That's a gangsterhood perspective of the Jesus story. And
that was
and
beautiful.
They ran it down. Yeah.
That was beautiful.
You know? And they kill
Mama,
you.
Mama, wait. Mama, pardon all the cussing, but that was beautiful. Keep going, brother.
You know, that's how it is. And we need to understand that. You know, we need to, as we said, wake up. You know, you want to see Jesus again? Stand up. Wake up. He's in you.
I like that.
You know, don't let him come in vain. You know? Listen, come up and be yourself. I go back to the Lion King when Mustafa told Simba, you are far greater than what you have become.
I like that.
Far greater than what you have become. You don't know how great you are, and that's a damn shame. That's what's been killed in you, yourself. But you can stand up again because your greatness has always been there.
All right.
And you got to find yourself. Be the one.
I like that. Thank you, brother. Be the
yes,
one.
Sir, thank you.
All right,
yes,
I'm trying
sir.
To wrap back around to you. He on fire today, y'all. Hey, you must have missed me last week, didn't you? Because you rolling today. Hold on a second, brother. I'll be right back. Great. I like, you know what? The brother, hey, he came twice. Mama, you heard him. He right, though. He said Jesus died trying to educate and inform us, his people. Ain't nothing wrong with that. If Jesus is in you, then let him, along with your own conscious mind, do the work of reforming your community. We're going to have to do the work of working on ourselves to carry out an action plan and do something about what's going on. You can't wait for nobody to come and save you. All of us are on this boat together, and we're going to have to work together to figure it out together, right? We're going to have to figure out what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and what we're going to do about the situation that we find ourselves in. It's just true. Over and over again, we had the same discussions, right? But when are we going to take the action step? I love having these conversations, but then during the week, what are you going to do to change the condition of your own mindset, of your own mind, of your own children, your own family, and your own community? How about that? We, like the brother said, are the one. So let's be the one in what we do. You'll have an opportunity, because we're doing the community conversations, 845-277-9250. You don't have to call, but you do have to listen. And if you just let it go in and say to yourself, define right now within yourself, I am going to take an action step today, this week, of doing something. That call to action. What am I going to do differently in my community? And if you don't live in a predominantly African-American community, that's fine. But what can you do to help out in some way? How can you mentor, train, or teach or develop? How can you add to a young person? How can you add to a family? How can you teach, train, and develop? And again, you not necessarily may not have all the answers, but you can make a difference, right? Again, we're not perfect, and we don't know it all. We don't. But are we willing to put forth the effort to simply try to be the best that we can be? Again, this is a purely African-American conversation. It's not about anybody else but us. Just me, you, us, talking together, trying to get it right. And again, we know that there, what we call Willie Lynch, right, there is a mindset that we're going to have to overcome about just how we see ourselves. How do you see your beautiful blackness? How do you, like the brother said, do you have African art in your house? Because here's the deal, right? We have to undivide, right? Because we're not totally, completely African-minded. So we can't really call ourselves Africans, right? Because we weren't raised in the culture. But when you get a sense of what that African culture is like and how it develops you, see, we have an American mindset with African bodies. I'm going to put it that way. That was makes us African-Americans. We have African DNA and American minds. But if we can re-educate ourselves, I ain't saying be African, right? You know, we had the kids to be laughing about what it was to be African, but the brother said it right. Have you been to an African city, right? Where the Africans, right, are building, right? They have community and they have culture and they have education systems. They ain't the dumbest people in the world, but they're sitting on all the resources, but they're being stripped of it. I'm going on today for a reason. I'm trying to get you to understand that it's in you. Analyze yourself and do the work on yourself first. What are the strategies that you're going to put in place? And it requires self-love. It requires self-reflection. You're going to have to change your attitude. Right? If you mad, you got to figure out what you mad about. If you hurt, you got to figure out what you hurt about. That's what you got to do. We're going to have to do that, but we're going to have to do that collectively. I'm going back to 8128. It's your time. Here we go. I like it. All right, 8128, back around to you. What's happening, brother? Uh, 8128, you there? Maybe he's taking a break. But he's still on the line, which is good. Hit me up when you're ready, brother. I'll be back to you. All right. So I'll take his turn then. And again, I'll say this, right? For the content and the quality of this show, the board should be filled. But the reason why the board isn't filled is because it's Saturday at 2 o'clock. I got some shopping to do. I got some other stuff to do, and that's okay, right? But if you're not doing nothing, then call. Guess what? If you got an opinion right now, then you should be sharing that opinion with the world. This is the African-American worldview that we're talking about. And it takes you, it takes the village to raise our communities and to raise our children. All I'm saying is we're going to have to do the work of working on ourselves in order to know what's going on. And we're going to have to do that work. Who's going to do it? You, me, us, we. That's the only way change occurs, but it's going to have to change in the household. It's going to have to change in the family. We're going to have to change some structures. We're going to have to change the way that we think, because we're going to have a call for unity in the community, right? Stop killing ourselves. Stop killing our minds and stop killing our spirits, right? Again, we got great young people, but they need leadership and guidance. The brother said the other day, I know that I've been a part of the movement and the young people have a problem with leadership. They got the will. They got the strength. We got the energy, but we have the wisdom. Some of us, let me qualify that, because some of us are ignorant as the H word, to be honest. And guess what? Ignorance isn't a choice. It's just what you don't know. So I'm saying to you, how are you going to grow? How are you going to improve? And how are you going to do the work of working on yourselves? We're going to have to be the change agents and the change advocates for ourselves right in community, on the block, right? It's going to be us to do the work of working on ourselves, but we're going to have to overcome some of the indoctrination. We're going to have to do that for ourselves.
Post-traumatic slave syndrome is an explanatory theory that really looks at multi-generational trauma.
Gotta look at trauma. Gotta look at our mindset.
One of the things that's difficult with people is their first response is, oh my God, that happened so long ago. We're talking about people being captured, shipped, sold, beaten, raped, experimented on, and then you have to ask the question, did the trauma continue? Yes. So 300 years of trauma, no help, freed. No help, more trauma. If it's a sustained trauma, then the impact of that is also sustained. When we look at multi-generational trauma, we're looking at people who are maybe victims of natural disasters and their families and their children and generations of folks who have experienced war. And we know that there are residual mental, emotional, traumatic impacts. And what I did was I started to look at the African-American experience, starting with slavery, as a real clear, long-enduring trauma. I started to see that there were clear connections between that survival behavior and contemporary living in African-American experience. I started to see common behaviors that I took for granted as, well, cultural. There's adaptive behaviors, survival behaviors. Well, what are they? Let's just say 2019, you have a black mother and a white mother. The sons go to school together. They find themselves at a meeting. The black mother leans over to the white mother and says, I just wanted
get
to mention to you that I noticed that your son is really doing quite well. And the white mother's response is, oh, thank you. She begins to go on and on about he won the science fair, his uncle's an astronaut. She's just oozing. She realizes the black mother's son is actually excelling her son. And she says, well, wait a minute. Your son's the one that's really coming along. And the black mother responds, oh, my God, he's a handful, but, oh, he just works my nerves. Now, when I'm working with African-American people, it doesn't matter what the audience is. It doesn't matter what class. If I were to ask, is she very proud while she's saying those denigrating things? And everybody laughs and goes, of course, there's a secret. Because everybody black knows that even though the black mother is going, oh, my God, she's really proud. So now let's roll that scene back 300 years. And let's say this black mother is working in the field. And a white slave owner comes through and says, wow, that boy is really coming along. What is she going to say? No, he's not. He's stupid. He's shiftless. He can't work because I don't want you to sell him. So I denigrate them to protect them. That is called appropriate adaptation when living in a hostile environment. The little white boy, say Timmy, you know, he feels really comfortable and happy about what his mom just said about him. And Trey looks at his mom and wonders, why can't you be proud of me? Because he doesn't understand the secret yet. And by the time he learns the secret, he will have already been injured by it. post-traumatic slave syndrome.
There it is. Broke it down. As Dr. Joy, the guru, she's done the work, and we have so many professionals that have done the work. The research is there. My good friend Dr. Faye has done the work. We're going to do something with her research as well. But we're going to have these conversations. We're going to have to do the work of working on ourselves and our communities. But again, you have to see how slavery has played and continue to play a part in our everyday lives. It's what we are, and we're going to have to do the work of redoing, re-educating, reinventing, modifying, adjusting, adapting, and developing ourselves. We're going to have to do the work of working on ourselves. I'm going back to 9282 to close it out. 9282, thank you for joining us today. What you got at the tail end, brother?
I just want to piggyback a little bit on what the sister was saying. You know, when I was in the Navy, I went out of my way, because I was a journalist in the Navy when there were very few journalists in the Navy, and I went out of my way to try to prove to white folk in the Navy that I wasn't no dumb nigga. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And because, you know, everything kept coming. They were throwing it. And, you know, I hadn't expired to be a journalist in the Navy. Just ended up things work out that way, and there I was. But then I realized, you know what? My greatest advantage in this military now, around all these people that think I'm a stupid nigga, I ain't got this, I ain't got that. I said, my greatest advantage is you thinking I'm dumb. I don't have to convince you, my enemy, that I'm intelligent, that I'm a bright person.
Amen to that.
What you say does not define me, okay? And if you want to continue to think that I'm dumb, do it. Because now I know you're underestimating me, you know? And that's one of the ways I really got over in the Navy, and I pissed off a whole lot of people, because they realized, oh, okay, he's been playing us all along. No, you played yourself. You're the one that tried to define me to say I'm a stupid person, that I'm an ignorant lowlife, and you tried to convince me of that to destroy me. But I just said, go ahead. You do you. You go ahead and run that. But that's to my advantage, you know?
Right.
And then throughout my career, I ended up in positions becoming the first black this, the first black that, the first black that. But I didn't fall for the trap, as we say. I didn't fall for the okey-doke. You know, all those things I was, all those things I were in the Navy, I realized, and I stayed true to form. I realized, okay, all these things y'all now giving me, these awards I'm now getting, the recognition I'm now getting, those of, I'm still a nigga in your eyes. You know, it's like a guy, old brother, told me one time years ago. He said, you know what they call a black man with a master's degree? I said, no, what they call a black man with a master's degree? He said, nigga. You know, that doesn't change.
All right, brother. Well, we're going to wrap it up. So give me a quick closing statement for the people real quick before we wrap up. We got about 2 minutes left. What you want to tell the people before we go to Jay? Take them home this week.
Stand together. Find me in you, and let me find you in me. We are one. We are one people. The one they refer to, the only begotten son, that's us as a people. It's not one individual. It's us as a people. We are the only begotten son of God. We are the one. And we must come back to ourselves. And you've been saying it all day. We say it every weekend. It starts with loving yourself. Please do that. Learn to love your black self, and trust me, you will love me.
All right.
Because you will.
Hey, what was the name of that church? What was the name of your church?
Book of Chambers. Understanding, wisdom. Knowledge. Book of Chambers Church of Understanding. Let me say it again. Book of Chambers, We Stand Together, Church of Knowledge, Wisdom, and Understanding.
All right. Thank you, brother. I appreciate you.
Thank you, brother. Peace.
All right. Peace. All right, we heard from Brooker Changes, Church of We Stand. I messed it all up, but knowledge, wisdom, and understanding is what we all need. We got to do it together. So y'all have a great day. Go out this week and do the work of working on yourself and become the best that you can be. It's all up to you. We're the one. Peace and blessings.